The 6th annual White House Tribal Nations Conference took place today in Washington. President Barack Obama welcomed over 500 leaders of the nation's federally recognized tribes. The focus this year, issues facing Native American youth, a group that the White House calls the nation's most vulnerable population.
A big part of the focus will be on education. Today, the president introduced an initiative called Generation Indigenous, which aims to bolster the college and career readiness of Native American children and youth, and a program to increase leadership development and peer support, among other things. But will these new proposals succeed where previous federal policy efforts have failed?
Here to talk to us now about the challenges facing this group is Brian Jackson. He's a program coordinator at the Great Lakes Native American Research Center for Health. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
Good evening.
Now, the White House report labels Native American youth as the nation's most vulnerable population. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
In your eyes, how are young Native Americans doing here in Wisconsin?
Well, I guess my own personal opinion in the many roles that I'm involved with, there needs to be a greater efforts focusing on some either a pipeline efforts, creating more teacher, Native American teacher opportunities. I think one comes to mind because I know locally here in Lac du Flambeau, we're struggling at the grade school, even in the high school, of having qualified Native American teachers, which to me makes a big difference. And when we're talking about culturally responsive efforts.
Why does it make a big difference to have the teachers be Native American?
Well, I think the obvious reason is, you know, there's the connection of the understanding of how we, our ways of being are, for one, you know, our histories and our and who we are as Indian people, and how the dynamics are on reservations. You know, those are basic dynamics of it's really a no-brainer coming from some efforts that we've been involved across, not only in locally but statewide as well.
Beyond teachers, what are some other challenges for students in schools that are teaching kids on reservations and?
Well, I think, you know, I think when I'm talking a pipeline, I'm talking not only for teachers, but I'm talking pipelines for what are opportunities available after high school. You know, one of the, you mentioned I'm the coordinator for the American Research Center for Health. I actually coordinate a program at UW-Milwaukee called the American Indian Science Scholars Program, which is geared for high school students. It's one of the very few Native American pre-college programs in the state of Wisconsin, with a highly structured, lab-oriented opportunity for high school students, because we are now in four academic institutions in the Milwaukee area, giving opportunity for students to see what kind of different fields are there, not only in the health and field, but just education in general, you know, giving them a taste of campus life and what higher education, what it takes to get into the institution as well.
Now, one of the statistics that people mention as well is that many, many young Native Americans live in poverty. Is poverty a component of this as well, one of the challenges?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look collectively across Indian country, I mean, you know, the opportunity for employment is probably over 50%, I would say, over across the nations. You know, even looking at locally here, I mean, the employment rate is pretty high for the community members.
And so maybe part of that pipeline issue is that, you know, because children are living in poverty, they may not see people who finish their education or go on to college.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of, you know, there's a couple of models that are successful in Wisconsin here. You know, one is I look at the Menominee Nation, what they have, a community engagement model within their school district. And actually, and what their superintendent does, what he does is he starts with himself, and he's in charge of three families, and it goes on to his principals, to his teachers. So they make three connections with families throughout the year, not just with conferences. You know, that these are additional, you know, just to check in on.
Just going to meet people, basically, and
well,
spend time?
Phone calls, in-person meetings, emails, at least three forms of communications to touch base with families, you know, to see how their son or daughter's experiences is going. Because when you look at success rates, they used to be called the dropout factory over in the Menominee Nation. Now their achievement gap is really closing, and their graduation rates are higher now. And that's one of the models that we're starting to implement in the community here in Lac du Flambeau.
Do you think that the changes that are happening that the president talked about today will help move these things forward even more?
I believe so. I mean, I think they're in the beginning stages. This recently we had Willie Mendoza, who was on President's cabinet for the White House initiative, which was a tour, and they actually did two tours in Wisconsin. The first tour was in Milwaukee in September, and the second was over in La Crosse last month. And basically what that was they were interviewing students. They wanted to get the student in voice, which was more what they wanted to focus on, talking about, safety in the school and environment, bullying, suicide prevention, culture-responsive curriculum, were some of the conversations that were taking place during those tours. And so they were actually going to on tour in other states as well. So they were collecting all these stories from students, which is where, in today's times, which is important because we need to hear the voice of the students so we know how to move forward, meeting their needs, whether it's, curriculum or, environment or poverty issues or suicide, whatever some of those issues are. I mean, we need to address some of those and hearing from them, getting their real stories.
Now, the White House is acknowledging that there have been some past failures in federal policy on education with Native students. What do you think are some of the mistakes that were made in the past by the federal government?
Well, I think from this, my work I've been involved with, this thing is, I'm thinking of, Wisconsin specifically because we have the statute, Act 31. And, there's a lot of things that encompass within that Act 31, whether it's mascot logo issues, which was overturned from the governor in Wisconsin back in December of last year, where it has an effect on students, not just in public schools, but, in tribal schools and, collectively as a whole. Wisconsin, there's 424 public schools, so, how can we create stronger awareness in those school districts of what American Indian students go through, not just with poverty, with our struggles of who we are as people, trying to claim our identity and link those, to our past and our histories.
Well, we're talking with Brian Jackson of the Great Lakes Native American Research Center for Health about the challenges facing Native American youth and education. The president released new proposals aimed at improving education and other factors, and you can join the conversation, too.
What do you see as the biggest issues facing Native American youth? What do you think needs to improve? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Brian Jackson of the Great Lakes Native American Research Center for Health about the challenges facing Native American youth. The 6th Annual White House Tribal Nations Conference was today in Washington with a focus on bolstering educational opportunities for Native American kids. You can join the conversation with your questions and comments about this at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Brian Jackson, one of the recommendations of the report that came out today is to strengthen tribal control of the education system on reservations. How much control do tribes have right now?
Well, they have the power, each individual tribe. Most tribal communities have their own education directors. In Wisconsin, there's 11 tribal education directors that make up their association, and they actually meet every other month, along with the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. So, yeah, definitely they have a lot of power as having control. And part of that control is, too, is making relationships or partnerships within their schools that are adjacent to their reservations or communities. And the reason I say that is because MOUs is a big push across Wisconsin tribal communities now.
And what is an MOU? I'm sorry.
Memorandum of Understanding.
Oh, I see. Okay. And, between school districts and
tribal communities.
Yeah.
And and education departments. And so basically what that is, that'll vary from community to community. But what does the curriculum look like? For Indian students, what kind of staff do they have in place? What kind of relationships are built? And I think the most importantly, I think when I say liaisons, because I think of each high school having either a homeschool coordinator that's Native American, to address some of these concerns. Either it's when you got students that are maybe truant or you know, having some other issues of suicide. You know, these homeschool coordinators and other liaisons, you know, come into some huge, you know, play when it comes to connecting with students and getting the students back on track, back in school.
Well, we have lots of people wanting to join the conversation. Let's go to Jim in Rice Lake first. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm not Native, but I teach at a Native American community college in Sawyer County. And one of the things I think we see at our community college is that the curriculum doesn't just have rigor, it has relevance. It has relevance in the sense that Native traditions are taught throughout the programming, whether it be mathematics, whether it be science, whether it be law. And I think the students reconnect with education, which they didn't get within the, for want of another phrase, the white public school system that some of them have gone to. And I'm particularly disappointed with Scott Walker's recent legislation to allow Native American, what I call caricatures, not mascots, within the Wisconsin State Public School System, because I believe it is contrary to the interests of our society as a whole, not just Native people. I'll take my response off the air.
Okay, Jim, thanks for that call. Brian Jackson, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I appreciate that call, too, because that's one of the things I did allude to earlier was when we're talking about culturally responsive curriculum or efforts. You know, a lot of those efforts are taking place in communities of, you know, for example, whether they're including, like, wild rice time in September, where students are allowed to go out and harvest rice, or if it's spearfishing time, you know, students are allowed to come in a little bit later so they can practice some of those ways. You know, and a lot of that's science-related, too, you know, as a gentleman from Rice Lake mentioned. And a friend of mine, his name is Running Horse, and he teaches a curriculum called Wigometry, and it's a different way of understanding math. You know,
Wigometry.
Wigometry.
Okay.
And so, and it's you know, basically what he does is he asks the question of how are we going to you know, look at the problem and the solution, you know, itself when you're looking at a math problem. So yeah, there's a lot of efforts of you know, you're looking at tying in some of those ways of being that are into, you know, as examples I mentioned. And also, the other piece that the gentleman mentioned from Rice Lake was the mascot logo issue I mentioned. I think a lot of folks in Indian country are very disappointed as well. Barb Munson, who I give hats off to, who was our mascot logo coordinator for Wisconsin, she actually is out there in the schools. It was part of the McGuanago case outside of Milwaukee, her and Richie Plass from Oneida. I mean, two big champions that are out there lobbying hard to get the this overturned, you know, hopefully in the years to come, because it truly it does have an effect, you know, of students, you know, of whether it's regionally, nationally, you know, the big national news is, you know, the Washington Redskins, you know, the big crowd they had over at the Viking-Packer game there, or was the Viking-Redskins game, I believe,
yeah.
Minneapolis or a couple weeks ago.
Well, we're going to go to another call. I have a couple more I'd like to try to get to here. Reed from Clintonville. Reed, welcome to Central Time.
Yes, thank you. Say, I spent 25 years of my 37-year teaching career on the Menominee Indian Reservation as an educator, art educator. And it was one of the best and most rewarding experiences of my life. I would say that I really ran into, and I'm non-Native person, by the way, but the only problems, the real problems that I ran into, of course, were poverty and attenuate baggage that students brought to class, I think, primarily impacted by or caused by much of the poverty that Native peoples have been subjected to. I might say that the Menominee Nation and Menominee County border lines, run contiguous, and both Menominee County and Menominee Nation has the highest unemployment rate in the state, something which our governor has not admitted to or addressed in any way, shape, or form. And it's nothing more than a slap in the face of our great historic nations, Native nations here in the state. But my students were wonderful, joyous students. I do wish we'd had more Native teachers in the Menominee Indian School District, but it was a privilege and a pleasure and a joy and an honor to have served those people. And
Oh, Reed, thanks for that call. Brian Jackson, I mean, one of the things that Reed mentioned that I'd like you to respond to a little bit is he talked a little bit about out-of-classroom issues that the students had to deal with. It seems like that reinforces the importance of the outreach that you were talking about earlier. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. I mean, you know, as a gentleman, you know, from Clintonville there had mentioned about the baggage that's carried into students coming in late or dealing with a lot of, whether it's drugs and alcohol in the home, single parents, or, you know, parents not being there during the evening if they have to work, where younger ones have to, you know, be the babysitter and kind of look after their younger ones. And, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of similarities, I should say, in a lot of the communities that, you know, I see in the community I work with, too, in like the Flambeau, you know, and, you know, I think with those types of efforts of outreach, you know, an example that I give is because, you know, we have the caller ID, you know, that everybody knows about. And so when you see the school number come across your caller ID, you know, a couple of things come to mind here in the community. One is, you know, something's wrong with your son or daughter. Either, you know, they're sick, secondly. Or third, it's an automated message. And so my theme is to, we have to reverse that perspective and be able to, you know, connect and give a outreach effort to a parent or family person saying, hey, how's your son or daughter's experience at the school so far? We want to congratulate your son or daughter making an honor roll. We're encouraged that they're out for a sport, after school activity, you know, something along those lines. Some positive communications, you know, monthly, I think would definitely change and get more parent involvement in schools.
Well, Brian Jackson, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, I appreciate the time and the thoughts for having me.
Well, that was Brian Jackson. He's a program coordinator of the Great Lakes Native American Research Center for Health in Lac du Flambeau.